We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.
Welcome to Play It, a new podcast network featuring radio and TV personalities talking business, sports, tech, entertainment, and more. Play it at play.it.
The Bernstein and McKnight Show.
What I normally would do is I would just listen. I would listen to the player, and then at that point, really try to advise him and understand that that I think is a minority. It's a vocal minority that's going to say those kind of things. And I also believe in, you know, people just throwing stuff like out there like that just for a reaction because they can't. I mean, through social media and Twitter, whatever, there's so many different venues now for people to attempt to gain a reaction in an attempt to gain notoriety, maybe just among a small group of friends. So he has to understand that it is a minority. It is not a majority. I really believe that sincerely. And he has to know that he has our full support in dealing with all of it.
Middays on the Score.
Joe Madden on the Score with Lawrence Holmes. He joins Lawrence at noon on Tuesdays talking about Carl Edwards and the issue the team is dealing with right now. The top of the hour is brought to you by the Chicago Wolves. Nothing beats playoff hockey in Chicago. Catch the Central Division champion Chicago Wolves as they battle Grand Rapids in the first round Friday and Saturday night at 7 at Allstate Arena. For playoff information, visit ChicagoWolves.com. Patrick Mooney of The Athletic covers the Cubs. He is on Twitter at PJ_Mooney, and he joins us now on the Alpamonte Ford Hotline. Alpamonte Ford, 500 new and used vehicles to choose from. What's up, Patrick? How are you?
Good. How you doing, guys?
Good. Before we get into the Carl Edwards stuff, would you consider today to be the first of the so-called Theo Epstein highlighted trap games?
That's a good question. I think it might be a little too early in the year for them to be circling trap games. But, you know, yeah, that was an idea in terms of a state of mind for some of these, you know, lower level teams, getaway days. You know, I'm sure they're, it's going to be a very small crowd in Miami tonight, but I think, you know, all that rhetoric's kind of out the window now. I mean, they know they can do the math and that they need to start to continue keep winning these games and taking these series because the schedule really does get a lot more difficult as we get into May, so they got to kind of pile up some wins here now.
Yeah, Patrick, I was kind of thinking earlier in the morning that if there are literally circled games on the schedule, start under 500 means you kind of have to move or maybe even increase the number of circled games you've got. Like getting back to 500, getting closer to the Brewers is almost, I mean, that's the overarching everything for them right now. It can't just be the 10 or 12 games that you've got circled. I wonder if they, I don't know, does it feel different than it did at the start of the season in terms of them needing to get back to that sense within the clubhouse?
I think at this point there's no sort of manufactured element to this. There's no mind games. I think when you start out the way they did in at a time when the Central Division is really strong and really outside the Marlins, it's hard to point to too many teams in the National League that are just flat tanking. And so, you know, these are all off-season discussions that, you know, happened throughout the organization. It was, you know, certainly driven by players who understood and recognized some things that they wanted to change. And, you know, I don't think it's front of their minds now. They just know they have to go out and play better.
So let's talk about the story that you broke regarding Carl Edwards. What was different? This, to me, the way everybody's talking about this tells me something is going past a certain threshold of concern here. Because, look, we all get all sorts of horrible messages. I mean, it's all day, every day. We all deal with it of these kinds of personal attacks on whatever it may be, ethnicity, religion, whatever people wanting to do. What was different about this that rose to this level of attention?
Well, I think this was, you know, really specific to Carl. I mean, I can't imagine, you know, I'm not a professional athlete. I'm not an African-American male. And this was a personal decision and reaction. And, you know, I think he had, this is not like the first time or an out of the blue experience, but, you know, Lee Long, his agent, issued a statement saying this had risen to a level that really made him uncomfortable. And, you know, the union is there to deal with, you know, a wide range of issues that have, you know, kind of cropped up as social media has kind of taken over our lives here. And, you know, I don't think this is necessarily an isolated incident. I think it's unique in that it kind of rose to this level, like you're saying, where there is kind of a formal inquiry going on.
I guess what I'm asking is was this a threat? Because as far as it being hate speech is protected, threats are not. Threats are crimes. Electronically transmitted threats are distinctly and specifically criminal. And we haven't heard that law enforcement is involved, but I'm wondering if it's the difference between unfortunately what we now consider sort of garden variety hate speech and something where he felt he might actually be in danger.
I mean, I can't speak to any specific threats. I mean, my understanding was that the initial focus centered around that exact idea of hate speech that you're talking about, which I'm sure you're probably wondering about next steps, and that gets into kind of a more of a gray area in terms of how the Cubs and MLB can proceed here. But I also don't want to minimize or pretend that I know the entire scope of what has been presented to them or, you know, where this might lead.
Does baseball have a procedure for instances like this? I mean, the whole social media thing is relatively new, though the kind of threats and hate speech that Edwards may have endured is not. Do they have a set skill, like, hey, you've gotten this, now you talk to this guy and teams go to the league? I mean, do we have a set procedure for this?
Yeah, so basically, in this case, it's kind of operating on two different fronts that you have. And I'd say that pretty much everyone involved here is aligned. Kind of everyone's looking at it from the same, you know, point of view that it's just unacceptable. And so you have the MLB kind of social media unit, as well as the Players Union, also based in New York. And they have these kind of back channel relationships with Twitter, Instagram, that they can kind of try and resolve issues, whether it's, you know, something as simple as getting verified or if someone's hacked, these kind of instances of hate speech. And if necessary, they can bring in, you know, law enforcement or their corresponding legal departments. So that would be kind of one area that they're looking at. And then on a club level, each team has these, or teams have these resident security agents who kind of are liaisons and can kind of look into these matters. And so I think you have kind of both of those cases, you know, all these different parties kind of working together towards the same goal.
How do how does Carl Edwards look so far in Iowa? Looking at the line, 15 batters faced, one walk, three strikeouts, that's a pretty decent control, at least compared to what he was going through when he was up at the big league club.
Yeah, I'm kind of like you, just looking at the box scores. But I think, you know, to be clear, this you kind of the tipping point for this happened before, you know, he was, you know, demoted. And he recognized that, you know, he's kind of lost on the mound there. I mean, we talked about the kind of Kenley Jansen hesitation move, and he wasn't able to apply it out on the mound. He didn't finish last season, you know, all that well. There's kind of a lot going on. I think he knew he needed to kind of step away for a bit, take a breather, and then ideally, you know, kind of fix his mechanics and get back to Wrigley as soon as he can. And I think you will see that. I mean, he's a terrifically talented pitcher. You know, he was on the mound for, you know, the biggest moment in franchise history, and there's, you know, a lot of reasons to believe that he will be a contributor in Joe Madden's bullpen. I just didn't necessarily see it happening. They just kept rolling him out there when they're off to a whatever 1-5 start.
We know that Anthony Rizzo has tended to start slowly. It doesn't necessarily mean it's okay, but he does have a history of rebounding from slow starts. But Chris Bryant is slashing .217, .329, .350. And I've read all kinds of analysis as to what's going on. And Connor and I have looked at charts and
everything,
graphs and math and metrics. And we're seeing a guy who is struggling with changeups and curveballs. And then when he does get fastballs to hit, he is not barreling them up. What are you seeing, and what's a way out of this wilderness?
I wrote the other day, I think, you know, Chris Bryant, if you're a Cubs fan, should be at or near the bottom of your list of concerns. I think he set these – he made it look so easy in the beginning, and that, you know, I thought Theo put it well that, you know, you give him a month, he's an elite player. He's always put up numbers. Everyone, whether it's, you know, people coming on your radio station, what they're telling us in the clubhouse, in the dugout, that this guy is healthy, and that as long as he is, you know, I'd assume, you know, he'd be an elite player once again.
I'm looking at the production from a group of four: Javi Baez, Daniel Descalso, David Bodie, and Ben Zobrist. All of them with weighted runs created plus over 130, with the exception of Zobrist, who's at 98, pretty decent, right around league average. I know Addison Russell doesn't come back until, what is it, the third now with the suspended game. Are the minors an option, at least to start things out for him?
I hadn't really thought of that. I mean, I think Joe the other day said, assuming Addison finishes off his suspension without any sort of another incident or a reason to think that he wouldn't be activated, mm-hmm. That he'd be back to playing shortstop, and that Javi would move to second. Joe's always felt comfortable standing in the dugout and seeing Addison at shortstop. I do think he would probably be mix and match in and out of the lineup more, and not just penciled in to play the rest of the season as your starting shortstop. But I have not been given any indication that he would be moving to Iowa once he comes off the restricted list.
And the situation with a still struggling Kyle Schwarber is what at this point? Let him play through it or protect him from bad matchups?
Maybe a little both. I mean, I think they have so much invested in Kyle Schwarber. They believe in the hitter. They believe in the person that, you know, looking back on last season, it was still decent, even though he might have been, I think Fangraphs called him like the worst clutch hitter in the history of baseball, even though he had like the greatest clutch performance in World Series history, like coming off rehab and walking right into the DH spot in Cleveland. So, no, I think he's done enough defensively, put in enough work to show that he can be a capable defender in left field. Clearly, he hasn't earned that right to be an everyday player yet, but I think this whole offense was designed around the idea of depth to get him through injuries and also to kind of create some cover for when these guys inevitably go through these down cycles.
What do you expect out of Cole Hamels, and has the conversation or any around him kind of concerned velocity, or is that just kind of expected to work its way perhaps back to where it was when he ended the season with the Cubs last year?
Yeah, I think he certainly gets the benefit of the doubt, and I think that's why, you know, they picked up that $20 million option right after the World Series ended. They, you know, quickly found out that that would mean moving some salary, and it may limit some other opportunities throughout the rest of the winter, but they wanted that security locked in, not knowing what they would get from Darvish and knowing that they didn't have a ton of pitching, you know, ready in the upper level of the minor. So I think Hamels is really, you know, he loves pitching at Wrigley. The National League is a much better environment for a 30-something pitcher, and kind of like John Lester, once he gets healthy, you know, you just look at the track record, and he's always kind of, you know, figured it out. I think he will again this year.
Patrick, thank you. We appreciate your time, man.
Anytime, guys. Thank you.
That is Patrick Mooney of The Athletic, brought to you by International Champions Cup. Get ready for soccer's first tournament of the year, July 16th. Catch the International Champions Cup as AS Roma battles Chivas de Guadalajara right in their own backyard at SeatGeek Stadium. Get tickets at SeatGeek.com today. I'm going to ask you this. We talk a lot about problems calling balls and strikes, about robot umpires, about what can be done. The whole idea of framing mattering as much as it does, which is another way of saying fooling, fallible human umpires.
Of course.
What do you think is a major correlation between that something about umpires that correlates with being bad at calling balls and strikes?
Having your eyes closed.
That's you're on.
I bet that would be a problem.
You're on the right track.
Wait, what?
You're on. It is. It is almost that simple.
Are the high speed cameras catching umpires asleep?
It's almost that simple. But you are on the right track. Think about what now. A scientific study at Boston University, has now shown to be true about who's good at calling balls and strikes and who's bad at it and what they have in common.
Give you a reason to boo umpires next. It's Bernstein McKnight, 670 The Score.
Welcome to Play It, a new podcast network featuring radio and TV personalities talking business, sports, tech, entertainment, and more. Play it at play.it.
And another blown call by Hernandez.
Ah, vintage talk. The bottom of the hour brought to you by Northwestern Football. Join the Big Ten West Division champion Northwestern Wildcats at Ryan Field this fall. Matchups include Ohio State and Iowa. Season tickets on sale now at nusports.com. Okay.
So you're saying that you've got a report here that might finally answer the question, what are you doing, Wegner?
I'm going to Wegner, not so bad. I'm going to distill this down. It is a Boston University study that went through a ton of data. Now that we have tracking data about where pitches go and what pitches are seen and what pitches are called correctly or incorrectly, and everybody's rated here by their performance. Actually, Mark Wegner was at the top of the heap as far as balls and strikes.
A number one.
He is an exception that it goes to part of what proves the rule here because he's 47 years old.
Okay.
Notice, you see these glasses I wear?
I do, okay. Yeah. The glasses started right about the time you and I started.
Yes. And I was late to it because I fought it. I was in denial. But
rage against the dying of the light.
Almost literally in this case. But you hit your mid-40s, your vision goes. It just does.
Fast?
It just does, yeah. Huh. My doctor, when I mentioned to him a couple years ago, says, oh, yeah. He's like, yeah, 44, you won't be able to see anything anymore. Just it just starts to go on you. And also, and this was explained, I was warned by a friend about this. Once you give in to the magnifiers, to cheaters.
Oh, yeah.
Then you're a slave to them.
They get worse, too.
Because then it's like
it gets exponential.
It's almost like an addiction. But, you know, I'm there. But it's a great prop. It's a great
Worn glasses since the third grade, and you do the whole, absolutely.
It's a really
you get the glasses take off, kind of the Robert Stack move. Just, I can't believe it.
That's
you just whip
exactly
the glasses
what
off.
They'll be expecting
and
us to do.
And then there's the pointing with the glasses, too.
Sure.
That lets people know you're real serious.
So if you look at 2018 and the best bad ball strike rate in the number, you haven't heard of these umpires because a lot of them were AAA fill-ins because they're young and they can see. Mark Wegner at 7.3. John Libka is 31, 7.3. Will Little, 35, 7.7. Tom Woodring, 36, at 7.7. Jansen Visconti at 31, 7.8. The best at seeing these incredibly fast pitches, these 94-mile-an-hour cutters, 96-mile-an-hour sliders, 101-mile-an-hour Jordan Hicks fastballs. Ooh. They're young people whose eyes work.
Well,
that's how ridiculous this is. And the worst?
It'd be so easy to guess Angel Hernandez, but that it's just so easy. Give me C.B. Buckner.
No, you get Ted Barrett, who's 53. Oh. This is just last year he was the worst, 11.5. Shortly thereafter, Joe West and Rob Drake.
He's ancient.
11.4. Dan Iasonia at 10.9. Gary Cederstrom at 10.8. And the conclusion of the study is as intuitive as it possibly can be. Younger eyes can see these baseballs better.
You know, what you get to, though, is a union problem with umpires.
And the fact that the system rewards seniority for the biggest games.
Unless you're Angel Hernandez, and then you just think you've been discriminated against because you're a bad umpire. But that's what this is. I mean, the rumblings have been going on. Like, I've heard it. You know, you get the old guys behind the plate, and the strike zone changes some, and you can't buy this, you can't get that, and these pitches aren't going to work. This is why I know I've told the story before, but I'll say it again. I had a minute or two to sit down with Justin Morneau when he was just finishing things out on the South Side. He had had just a couple of weeks, maybe like 3 months, something like that. He's a waiver pickup. And I'm sitting down and talking with him in the dugout for the pregame show. And as we're just kind of just generally talking baseball, he brings up, just out of nowhere, I even about it, Morneau just kind of brings up, we really got to get electronic strike zone. I'm like, okay, great. Let's talk about that a little bit. He was at the time, at least this is what he was telling me, one of the guys trying to spread the word around for the electronic strikes. I know there's plenty who have pushed back against it. Plenty of players, I mean, who don't want it involved. We were reading the player poll in The Athletic just a little while ago.
It was a half and half.
It was a little bit, I think it was a little heavier skewed toward the electronic strike zone, but still a good portion of players, at least those polled, weren't all that interested in robot umps. But Morneau was just all about it because what it would offer, his contention was, what it would offer is consistency to a hitter. And that's all he'd preach, like to younger players who were worried about it or weren't that interested or didn't know about it. He was just kind of bringing it up in conversation to other players all over the place. You want this consistency because then you know what is, what isn't. And you've got this reliability to things.
Now, didn't...
And that's going to help hitters. That's his point, is that's going to help you hit.
Of course it is. Consistency is good for everybody. And knowing that it's like, oh, it's this guy today, I'm going to have to look out for this. Or this pitcher's pitches are going to be seen in a certain way because this guy does this. It's ridiculous, really. When you think about it, it's preposterous.
Well, it's not preposterous because it was the only way you could get it done for 150 years of baseball.
But now it's not.
Now it's... Well... I think there still are technological advances needed to get the strike zone formed to individual hitters. I think there still is a little bit of software engineering to do to get it from Aaron Judge down to Jose Altuve. Like if they played in the same, you know, to get from one batter to the next to make sure the strike zone is appropriately sized and shaped. I don't know that we're there yet.
I was trying to watch it pretty closely when we were at Talking Stick and when we were in Mesa.
I love that ballpark.
But sitting where we were sitting with that angle and mm-hmm. watching professional velocity and just realizing...
With the exception of Greg Holland.
Correct. Greg Holland, where you could actually see the seams on the baseball.
Individually, one by one.
That giant red circle and just waiting back. Stay back, stay back, stay back.
Boy,
stay back.
Did he have a bad day.
Ooh, yeah, rough day. But he's working on stuff.
Yeah, it's just stuff.
He was working on his bad curveball. I was working on some things.
This one goes 455 feet.
Working on my hanger. But when you think about how ridiculous it is to ask a 66-year-old Joe West, who probably couldn't pass a driving test, to have him out there trying to determine exactly where a 100-mile-an-hour pitch is, that aspect is ridiculous. But Jay's not here, but doesn't the NHL, don't they demote older referees? Don't they have a system where the...
I mean, I don't think it's like Logan's Run or anything.
The little thing on your hand changes color?
Yeah, no, I don't think it's... I mean, I don't think it's
wow.
harsh like that.
You like a 1974 movie reference.
That's deep with the sci-fi, yeah.
Wow.
Well, plus Logan's Run is archetypical, you know? I mean, so many have been based off of that idea.
Yeah, that's pretty good.
Like, you get Gattaca, old, you go to pasture, yeah.
But I believe that there is a... They do something where the guys that can't move around the ice like they used to don't get
they put him on like a Viking ship and send him out to sea and set it on
flaming
fire.
Flaming arrow there. Yeah.
Right after O Canada.
Well, time for another Viking feud over Don Koharski.
If any sport did that, it would be hockey.
Of course it would.
Like you get a ceremonial fight to end things.
But Fernando Rodney fires the arrow. Dressed as a Viking.
But that's...
No, I thought they did. I thought that they had...
I don't know.
I thought the NHL had a system where the guys that can't move like they used to were demoted.
Ceremonially killed.
Yeah,
it was like an Aztec ceremony where you just... The death whistle goes off. The heart gets removed. It's that whole thing. I have no idea.
There it is. That was one of the very first sound drops of the Bernstein and Midnight
Absolutely
Show.
Absolutely was.
I think the first week we unveiled the Aztec death whistle for no apparent reason.
Didn't know it existed before, I think. But the umpire thing is, I'll be honest, changing the status of umpires and getting, you know, 66-year-old Joe West out from behind the plate, that seems more unlikely to me than going to robot umpires. You're just, I don't think that union is going to change the idea of taking guys out of jobs or moving them around. You've got a rotation. You need home plate umpires. I don't think they're going to go to a static home plate umpire in Cruz. Like, the young guy's just going to work behind the plate?
Well,
I doubt it.
I think it's going to be a combination.
This is a union issue.
And here's how the conclusion actually reads of this long and involved BU study. We retweeted the full story, by the way.
Oh, it's very... Go read it, yeah.
Major League Baseball's goal should not be to resist change, but to adhere to the official strike zone that its own rules make clear on every pitch.
Good luck.
High-tech aids and greater recruitment of competent younger umpires is another important step. Imagine player and fan experience and what baseball would look like if each year the more than 34,000 incorrect calls vanished. Fans could focus more on umpire standouts and rising stars and applaud the veterans who are able to withstand the test of time, just like the best aging ball players are appreciated. It is unrealistic to assume that home plate umpires, unassisted, can collectively achieve the accuracy rates increasingly demanded by the sports industry and deserving fans. Given that umpires hit standard peaks, hiring and retention policies need to be adjusted accordingly. Adopting a stronger performance-based system coupled with readily available technology would allow the human aspect of the game to remain while respecting the benefits that can come with advancing technologies. At minimum, using a tech-assisted approach would produce results no worse than our existing band of MLB umpires.
So I guess the next evolution of this would be Major League. If Major League Baseball wanted to make changes, they look at the umpires union and say, listen, the end of the industry is on the way because we want the robots to do this job. So if you want to give something back, it's change your policies and let the younger umpires, the better. Let us grade you on balls and strikes a little bit better, a little bit more accurately.
Yeah, they've been.
Otherwise, we got the robots coming.
Well, the umpires fought
to the nail.
The cameras, and was it Quest Tech? Was that the original name?
If that was the original, I think TrackMan was the first.
I thought Quest Tech was the original.
Fair foul?
Yeah, the umpires didn't want any of it because they knew that it would expose some of these old fat bastards for being bad at their jobs.
Yeah,
they knew it.
They've negotiated, though. You get what you negotiate. That umpires union has played ball.
I felt it yesterday, too, on a warm day. If you saw an odd-looking person at Revere Park yesterday, it was likely I. If you saw,
did you have an iguana under your shirt?
I had cargo shorts. I had shin guards. I had an ill-fitting child's chest protector on and an ill-fitting, stretched-out kid's catcher's mask on.
For any reason?
Because my
son, fishing?
He wanted, yes, you know, it's typical fishing
attack. Fishing,
you know, just walking a friend's dog. No, but my kid wanted to throw. You know, we stepped off 60 feet. We drew a line.
Nice.
And we were, however.
It's that time of year.
I was boxing balls. It was.
Eyesight?
It was, yes.
You wear the glasses underneath the mask?
No, these are reading glasses. It wouldn't really help me.
Might.
I don't have prescription. I mean, my vision outside of, you know, close up reading stuff is otherwise fine.
But you take one off the newts and you're willing to do anything to change it.
No, I had a difficult time. What I forgot to factor in, and I will tell you this, if you're going to throw with your high school age kid, grab the brightest, whitest baseball you can.
Yeah.
Because this one was, a practice ball from years ago out of the bottom of a bag, and it is hard to pick up the hard breaking stuff.
Fresh baseballs save shins.
Yeah, fresh baseballs save your nutsack. So I would
it's harder to put on a bumper sticker.
A little bit of advice, and I felt it. I got some late reads on some things, and was and I heard the snickering. I heard it.
It was
I could hear it out there.
There was
does the disguise thing like, oh, I'm taking off my hat and I'm wiping the sweat off my lip. Okay, I see you working out there.
Uh-huh. Lawrence Holmes is coming up with Transition. Michael Lombardi had some interesting thoughts on the Bears as the draft is on the way. We'll play some of that for you before we get out of here. It's Bernstein and McKnight, 670 The Score.
Welcome to Play It, a new podcast network featuring radio and TV personalities talking business, sports, tech, entertainment, and more. Play it at play.it.
Bernstein and McKnight getting ready for Lawrence Holmes in just a bit, but thought you should hear this.
Yeah.
Longtime NFL observer analyst Mike Lombardi, front office guy who knows a lot of people, has a lot of names always, a lot of strong thoughts.
Noted opinion haver.
He was on with Mully and Haw, and he just doesn't seem to have a whole lot of confidence that Mitch Trubisky's good.
Oh, I think there's no doubt Matt Nagy's done an incredible job of trying to make the game as easy as he can for Mitchell. I think there's no doubt about that. I think Matt's done a remarkable job and with the offense and the misdirections and all that. But for me, you know, it still comes down to being accurate. It still comes down to making great throws at great times in the game. And, you know, I just don't see Mitchell being able to do that. I'm not going down that road. I'm not backing off what I said. I think that when you watch the tape and you watch the product and you see, you know, what happened in the Ram game at home last year in the cold has to concern Bears fans, because how he handles the cold weather certainly has got to be a concern, and where he can control the football. Look, here's the thing you got to understand about playing quarterback in the NFL. Every quarterback can throw the ball through the door. This is from Brett Favre. This is a direct situation for Brett Favre. Quarterbacks can throw the ball through the door. Good quarterbacks can hit the doorknob. The great ones have to be able to throw it through the keyhole. Now, you ask yourself, can Mitchell Trubisky throw the ball through the keyhole with pristine accuracy? I don't believe he can. So I think at some point during a game, when you're playing in a really hard game and you got to win it, and you got to make a 3rd-and-8 throw, and you got to make it so perfectly that you keep the ball away from the offense, the opponent's offense, can you do that? We'll see.
The end of the Eagles game.
I don't know. The door and the knob and the keyhole metaphor. I don't think I'm buying the whole thing.
The door and the knob and the keyhole.
You're saying accuracy matters? Velocity matters and accuracy matters. Yes.
Yeah, of course it does. I don't know. You know, he might call his own schedule of plays at OTAs. You read this? I think it was Fishbane writing up. Matt Nagy is interested in letting Mitchell kind of run the offense for a little bit. I wish they'd tell you which series.
Yeah.
You know, like say, was a Mitch series. That one right there. He authored that whole thing. I love to see that.
Thank yous to Mike Florio and Patrick Mooney for joining us today. Thanks to the producers Mike Chen, Rick Camp, and Ray Diaz. Brian Gertz had the video feed, and Mark Grody had a couple of updates.
Yeah, he was here.
And then he's coming back to work with Danny, right?
That's the word.
Very cool.
But we've got Lawrence next. Transitions on the way. 670 The Score.
Listen to every Cubs game here on 670 The Score.
Schwarber, he drives one in the air, deep left field. Well hit. It's got a chance. Gone.
This is Sports Radio 670 The Score. Official radio home of the Chicago Cubs. A radio.com sports station.
Spring into savings today with a new SUV from Breedeman Ford. 0% APR or huge cash back on most new Ford models. Save thousands. Breedeman Ford in Glenview or happydrivers.com.
With approved credit.
Your building has many doors. Front doors, back doors, interior doors, and those loading dock doors that this truck driver just backed into. When you need repairs fast, call us, Door Systems. Door Systems has been installing, servicing, and maintaining all types of doors since 1954. You can trust us to be there 24 hours a day to work on any type of door and dock equipment. Call today for 20% off all weather stripping. Door Systems. 1-800-THE-DOOR. 1-800-THE-DOOR.
When you're looking for a new or pre-owned travel trailer, fifth wheel, or motorhome, call Pontiac RV before you buy. Pontiac RV is Illinois' largest RV dealer. Our volume buying power and lower overhead means you'll save on major manufacturers like Coachmen, Keystone, Forest River, Tiffin Motorhomes, and more. With over 300 RVs in stock, see why people travel from all over the Midwest to Pontiac RV. Call or click PontiacRV.com.
Everything under the sun, Pontiac RV.
Want to win a free mortgage payment? That's right, a free mortgage payment like our April winners, Lyle Land and Richard from Highland Park? Then you need to enter Team Hochberg's free mortgage payment sweepstakes. If you own a primary residence in Illinois, Wisconsin, Indiana, Michigan, or Iowa, Team Hochberg wants to pay your mortgage. I'm not kidding. Team Hochberg wants to pay your mortgage. Entry is free, and you can't win a free mortgage payment like Lyle Land and Richard from Highland Park did if you don't register at 56davidwin.com. What are you waiting for? Register now to win a free mortgage payment at 56davidwin.com. If you want to work with a lender who wants to pay your mortgage like we did for Lyle Land and Richard from Highland Park, call Team Hochberg now at 855-56-DAVID or visit 56davidwin.com. Team Hochberg's helped thousands of Score listeners, but we can't help you win a free mortgage payment if you don't register for the sweepstakes at 56davidwin.com. Homesite Financial Equal Housing Lender, NMLS 1124061.
Ladies and gentlemen, today's opponents on Man versus Train. At the crossing, we have Rick, a 175-pound frustrated man who's running late for work. And on the tracks, we have Bull, a million-pound freight train that takes a mile to stop. Let's see who comes out on top.
You can't beat a train, so don't try. Stop. Trains can't. Paid for by NHTSA.
When you got a big family and you're short on food, who are you going to use? Walmart's grocery pickup. When you have a dinner party and your pantry is empty, who are you going to use? Walmart's grocery pickup.
Try Walmart's free grocery pickup. Order online and we'll bring them to your car for free. Download our grocery app today.
Who are you going to use? Walmart.
$30 minimum. Restrictions apply.
All money managers might seem the same, but while some give their clients cookie-cutter portfolios, Fisher Investments tailors portfolios to your goals and needs. Some only call when they have something to sell. Fisher calls regularly, so you stay informed. And while some advisors are happy to earn commissions whether you do well or not, Fisher Investments fees are structured so we do better when you do better. In other words, we're on your side. Maybe that's why most of our clients come from other money managers. So if you're in or nearing retirement, talk with us and find out why investors are switching to and staying with Fisher Investments. Fisher Investments, clearly better money management. Investments in securities involve the risk of loss. Visit us at fisherinvestments.com to find out what we can do for you.
Rosen celebrating its 30th anniversary. Save on any new 2019 Kona, Tucson, or Santa Fe at Rosen Hyundai in Algonquin, Illinois. Save time and shop online at rosenhyundai.com.
Rosen, Rosen, Rosen. Rosen, Rosen, Rosen. Rosen!
This is Sports Radio 670 The Score and 670thescore.com. Chicago Sports Station.
I'm here for this.
Let's do this. Lawrence Holmes is ready to go for the noon to two slot. It's urgency day, Lawrence. Trap game. You feel it? This is the one. This is circled. This is what Theo was talking
about. This on
here
the
we
drive
go.
In.
Here we go.
It's funny hearing him say things that he hates while he's saying them. It's
I
great.
Hate myself for saying them.
Do we know for sure that this was one of the games circled? Or
it is now.
Does it just fit the profile?
See, I'm of the opinion that while you're under 500, every game is circled. You're the Cubs. You're supposed to win 90 something.
Let me ask you.
Get
both
over
something.
500.
Before we go back to the Cubs,
what
has Christian Yelich walked into Barry Bonds' land? Where? How about I'm not going to pitch to you anymore? Like I'm done.
Oh,
pitching
I thought you
to
meant
you.
I thought bones you meant the other Barry Bonds.
No. Okay. Just the effect. I'm just wondering because I don't, especially if I'm the Cardinals, I'm done pitching to you.
Yeah,
you can go over there.
You got to stop that. You can't throw it to him.
You can't keep pitching to him, can you?
Every fly ball is a home run.
No, well, thank God Mike Matheny's not there anymore because he'd hit him.
He would.
That's the problem. At least we've got Mike
with a baseball. He'd just walk out there and hitting him.
I'm going to hit you, and then you're not going to hit anymore. Well, they can start the strategy after today because I did pick him for beat the streak today. So, but after that, probably just walk him because it doesn't make any sense to pitch to him.
No. No, he's absolutely on fire. The fly ball, the home run to fly ball ratio is unbelievable.
Chris Davis, I mean,
for a guy who hit ground balls as often as he did, it's like a 48-50% ground ball guy, I think, in Miami, and now he's just stroking for power.
Do
it's
we
unreal.
Know if the scout who found Yelich is the same scout that found Stanton? And do we know if those scouts are still scouting for the Marlins?
No, everyone who worked for the Marlins has been fired.
Because if you're those guys, like you're smiling pretty big, like I gave you two MVPs.
Mm-hmm.
Our scouting department delivered two MVPs.
Well, here's the difference between scouting and development people. Because you can get Yelich in your system and see his exit velocities. But it takes somebody beyond scouting. That's when he's turned over to the next phase, and they say, we need to adapt your swing a little bit to hit more fly balls to take advantage of these exit velocities. And while we're on this, did you see the tweet about a certain Detroit Tiger who over his last handful of at-bats is generating EVs of like 105?
No.
Gordon Beckham.
Come on. Hmm. I don't believe you. Gordon's barreling up balls?
Look it up on Twitter. Look up Gordon Beckham exit velocity. And it is something crossed in my timeline last night as one of these outlier examples of maybe something being up with the baseball.
Well, every year. But, wow, Gordon Beckham?
Yes.
It's funny because Mac and I were actually having a Gordon Beckham conversation about how, you know, the score was probably too quick to give Gordon Beckham a radio show.
Yeah, maybe.
He was so nice about it, though.
Very nice. And he always handled it so professionally.
He brought food.
Yeah, he would bring food, and he'd talk about why he was hitting 220. And Ozzie called him bacon.
It was rough. That was like hearing his career end in real time and following along with that was not fun.
Well, it's not his. I mean, it didn't end. He's clearly still playing baseball and making, you know, good money, but it was rough.
Tim McDonald is the Marlins area scout who found and pushed the team to sign Christian Yelich. According to this piece of the Post, he was also instrumental in the Marlins signing Giancarlo Stanton, and as best I can tell, he's still with the organization and leads in terms of minor leaguers to make major league debuts, like scouts who have identified.
What's this guy's name again?
Tim McDonald.
If I'm Tim McDonald, I'm leaving that place because I keep giving you MVPs, and you keep going, we'll trade him.
He's doing his job.
Find me more MVPs.
He doesn't have to worry about that.
Yeah, but you could go someplace else.
Yeah, but that's the best guy to have for that Marlins team. I mean, if you don't want to pay, what's Tim probably making? Nothing. You know, maybe he's got a health insurance plan. Maybe he doesn't.
Maybe he likes Miami.
Probably got a nice car or something like that. He's not in Miami. He's scouting everywhere else.
Well, I mean, his house might be in Miami. But what I'm saying is that if you're him, don't you want to go to an organization that is going to appreciate the assets that you help them procure and then let them get to maturation and win you something instead of give them to the Yankees or
you know what?
Allow them to terrorize the Cubs.
But in all seriousness, if I'm a scout, I don't care. That would be nice, probably. But if I've done my job of bringing you this talent and wherever those guys may go, that's still my victory. That's still
100%.
There's no question. And if you want to screw it up, if you want to trade it, if you don't want to pay it, I can't worry about that. All I can do is say sign this guy. All I can do is say this is worth this, and this is where use this pick on this guy. I'd move him up your board. I would go out of my way to get this guy, but he might end up playing here. He might look and do that. Then my work is done, and the rest is on you.
How much longer until Jeter is Jordan?
Why isn't he there already?
I mean, I think that he probably is there, but to be fair, do we give him a couple more years before we go, you're Jordan. You can't do this part of the job, can you?
I guess you have to give him a few, but only because it's baseball and you're allowed to have a rebuild. Like we as fans of the sport and as consumers of teams understand that when you put the rebuild sign up, you get 3 years. It's just the
yeah, but is there anyone who believes that Miami can do it? Like outside
they still have Tim McDonald, I guess.
Well, I guess.
It's what they do, though. I mean, haven't they proven that they can build up, tear down?
But that was old ownership, wasn't it?
Yeah.
Two different old ownerships.
Right. Yeah.
Huizenga did the first tear down, and it was Loria with the second one.
I just don't know if he can do it. Anyway, I heard you talking about how there's only 29 teams.
There
in
are.
Major League Baseball, and that was funny to me. I'm in such a good baseball mood today. I was at White Sox yesterday.
I have too much urgency.
Great day.
Your urgency is harshing your mellow.
Yeah, just too urgent. Too damn urgent.
It's
so
just,
urgent.
It's just great. Like watching the young White Sox hit.
I was talking about this yesterday about Tim Anderson. You know the difference between, like, you watch a guy and there's an expectation when he's out there, whether he's hitting or whether he's on defense. Ball gets hit to him, a bat comes up, and you as an observer, just somebody watching, you're just comfortable. You know, because what this guy's been doing, because the approach he's had, things just very comfortable. There's an expectation there that's not outsized and it's not underweighed. It's just you're right there on that. That's where Tim Anderson is for me right now. It's just incredibly, extremely comfortable.
Yeah, I agree. And but watching Moncada.
Well, that's exciting.
Oh. Little oppo power? You want to see a little oppo power? Great.
The ball's going to fly that way for everybody. Then Yoan Moncada can take a lot to that side of the ballpark.
It's so nice. It's so nice from a week ago. It just was nice. I was out there early. Moncada is taking a ton of reps at third base to try and become better. And Aloy is out in left field working by himself. With the machine,
yeah,
working on fly balls, like seeing those guys hit and seeing Lopez. Lopez's changeup yesterday was phenomenal. He can. I don't need him to be a superstar. I need him to be what he was last night, because I know that he's got the stuff. Just can you put it all together in a nice little package? Yeah,
when he
for me?
Stays on top of that pitch and it rides low in the zone, it's coming out of his hand in a way that gets that good downward rotation. It's different than it's a lot like watching John Danks used to be, when it's a critical pitch for him, and when it's up, it's awful.
Yeah, it's going to get hit a long, long way. Speaking of Danks, when did Chris Sale turn into John Danks?
That's a problem,
right?
That is a big time problem.
It is
shoulder checkup time. That's what it is. It's shoulder checkup time.
Isn't this what every White Sox person had been predicting for Chris Sale?
No, yeah. I was predicting elbow.
You were thinking elbow?
I was thinking elbow.
But they were thinking it'd be when he was 22.
But we were all thinking that violent delivery, the velocity that it gets, the way that he's built, at some point it's going to go badly. I hope it doesn't continue to go badly. Because then he's going to turn into Edward Scissorhands again.
Yeah, but this is Phantom DL trip bad.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
You got to figure out what's wrong with him. You need to go over there. You've got dead arm. Go over there.
Call Coop while you're on your way there.
Don't call him.
Well, I bet he has.
Might have.
They're very tight.
Might have.
It wouldn't surprise me at all.
I wouldn't be surprised either, but, you know, Edward Scissorhands. Gentlemen, as always, thank you for your time.
Have fun,
Bernstein and McKnight, 9 a.m. until noon every day. You can hear them right here. We are Sports Radio 670, The Score.
Welcome to Play It, a new podcast network featuring radio and TV personalities talking business, sports, tech, entertainment, and more. Play it at play.it.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.